Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back rolling to the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And joining me now via the phone line is David Cobb. That would be David Cobb on X at David W. Cobb. And CBS Sports, he writes for them, reports for them on college football and college basketball. David, what's happening, brother? Happy Friday to you.
Hey, same to you, Gabe. I appreciate that. I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. By the way, I don't mean to bring this up directly on air, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do you have Xbox or PS5?
Yeah, so I'm on the Xbox train.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna have to holler at you tonight and get that gamer tag so we can figure this out and see who's. So we'll have a grudge match at some point this weekend on NCAA 25.
Absolutely. I'll warn you though. I've been playing a lot. Like I've had the sticks in my hand a lot this week. So you know, I'm not a world beater. I'm not playing on Heisman, but I'm beasting on All American. So I've got that going.
The more I see people like stream it though, the more I realize people don't know how to call plays. That's my biggest issue. And I'm like Mike Norvell on the sticks. I'm like I'm Lane Kiffin on the sticks when it comes to play calling.
Oh, I'm sure you are because you're using your knowledge.
Oh yeah, I get that too high look. I know I'm not going downfield. Give me some outbreakers and some crossers. I think people have missed the boat on that. People don't. We need to have more understanding of what to call in certain situations.
And as an interior lineman, I'll bet you run a lot of halfback dives too.
Well, I'm more of a stretch guy. I like running a stretch. I like getting off the tackle. I like a little outside zone, mid zone concept, so I can have my running back decide where he wants to run. I don't need a dive or a trap or a power. I need more of a. I need more options when I get out in the open field.
How do you feel about the halfback draw? As an offensive lineman, do you have to like kind of sell pass, and then it's like, oh, no, we're running the ball. Yeah.
You try to get them upfield. The biggest problem, though, with it, whenever you run a draw, David, it's usually third and long or second and long after a sack. Mm-hmm. It's just like the draw. You got to really catch someone off guard for that to work. I don't know. I haven't gotten to play the game yet. So like right hand up. I'll tell on myself there. Maybe it works a little bit better in this game. But that's second and long, third and long play call right there.
You know, the other like advanced play call that I don't think a lot of casual gamers run that I like, the halfback slip screen.
Yes.
I like the draw. You're only going to run that in a, you know, when you're behind the chains, most likely. But, man, I really like the screen play a little bit there.
Yeah, but honestly, I'm telling you, a nice first down screen sometimes can really throw some people off. If you get them in a blitzing down, oh, gosh, that's touchdown waiting to happen.
Have you ever called plays in real life? I know you dabbled in coaching a little bit, you know, a couple of years back. Have you ever had the headset on and been?
Unfortunately, no. I was coaching at Germantown for 2 years through COVID, and never got to actually play in a regular game because Shelby County Schools shut down the season.
would rather forget those years.
Yes, but I was the run game coordinator, so I got all the plays set up and all the calls ready to go. There was that.
Big that, yeah. So we coach soccer up at the YMCA in the spring, and they're recruiting us now, you know, to coach again in the fall. But they're running a flag football league simultaneously with the soccer league. And there's a part of me that is like, wonder if I could coach flag football. I mean, you know, it's like fourth grade, so you probably have what, 4 or 5 plays. Like, I think I could do that.
You can probably handle that. I think you got enough football knowledge.
You gotta get those
passing
football.
Those passing concepts are a little bit foreign to me, though, for the most part.
Yeah. Did y'all ever have any like specialty packages when you were at Memphis to where like a lineman would somehow end up with the football?
Yes.
And, like, a short yardage
Trayvon Tate. You remember? Some people may. Real Memphis fans definitely know Trayvon Tate. He plays in the CFL now. We would do. We always practice a screen to him because he ran like a 4.8. He was like 6'3". 300 pounds, still somehow ran a sub 5:40.
I'm going to guess that one never got executed in a game.
No. But in practice, it definitely got it. We got a couple touchdowns in practice. I always wanted to be the one who caught the ball on a play like that. But I did have to be real with myself. I was not the most fleet of foot on our entire offensive.
Well, you do say though sometimes that you were a lineman who could do well in space. Like that, yeah. you prided yourself on your agility.
Yes. And space is probably overstating it. I think on those mid zone, outside zone concepts, like where I'm trying to go get to the outside shoulder of the D lineman, I was great on those. You get me out in open space, I was a little bit overzealous. I would definitely lean out a little bit too far, fall on my face a lot of the time.
How many times, if ever, I'm sure you recovered at least a couple of fumbles. Did you ever advance the football?
Never in my life. In high school, I always tell people I did have a 12-yard interception touchdown in my high school days.
Nice.
When I was playing 3-tech my junior year against Oakville. Shout out Oakville. Never really good at football, and that's probably why I got a pick six off of them. But it was a screen pass. I saw it coming, completely read it, and tipped it up in the air, caught it with one hand, took it back in 12 yards. Had my touchdown celebration left a lot to be desired. I should show you that. I just started jumping up and down like an idiot.
Oh, my gosh, I got the football.
Yes, I had no idea. And I remember getting interviewed after the game, and they're asking me like about the pick six. I'm like, a lineman's dream. I was so corny. So corny back then. 16-year-old Gabe was very corny.
Well, I got to think that your experience as an offensive lineman helped you recognize the play call that was on.
Look at you. Absolutely. 100%. You see the running back take 2 steps forward and stop moving?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he tries to slip out? It's obvious. We ran that play too many times for me not to be keying in on that.
So did you play both ways even through your senior year, or once you had committed, did you sort of say, you know, I don't need to be playing defense anymore?
No, I tried. We had a really good D line my senior year. We got a couple of transfers over from other high schools in our area, so I didn't need to. My senior year, my junior year, I probably played 105 snaps a game.
Well, yeah,
I never came off the field.
It's crazy. And, like, they wonder why, you know, they got to bulk guys up once they get to college. It's because, literally, you play 105 games on both lines of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, 10 to 12 times a year. And then, you know, you're practicing on both sides of the ball starting in, what, July? I mean, it could be impossible to be 285 or 290 pounds when you show up to college.
And also, when you get to Memphis, too, I think you can surmise what I'm about to say here. It's really hard to put on weight when you get to Memphis. And you get into conditioning, and you have to do that in the summer. It's impossible. It is so hard. You have to eat ridiculous amounts of food. Now, I have to bring this up. We've been talking about SEC Media Days all week. I am a basic you-know-what because I guess my top five are the exact top five of finishers that have been projected by the SEC media that was there. Georgia 1, Texas 2, Alabama 3, Ole Miss 4, LSU 5. I was a little bit different because of that second group of Mizzou, Tennessee, Oklahoma, A&M in different order. But I had the exact top five that most everybody had.
Yeah, I guess everybody else was a little bit lower on Missouri, too. You kind of had the pulse of the public on that one because Missouri comes in at 6, even though based on last year's performance, you know, you would have had them ranked ahead of LSU. But, man, I think my biggest takeaway, and it's not that it's a surprise, but to see Oklahoma all the way down at what, 6, 7, 8?
8.
8 in this poll? I mean, come on. That's got to be a little insulting to the Sooners who have – run the Big 12. I mean, obviously Texas won it last year, but there was a series of years there under Lincoln Riley where it was OU pretty much every year, and now they come into their new league and they're smack dab in the middle at 8. Like, that's a tough schedule they've got, but I'm sure seeing OU pick there was probably a little bit of a reality check for some of their fans.
Yeah, how much of the LSU being ranked this high, they got 2 first place votes, how much of this is Brian Kelly? Because that's something that I finally sort of put my finger on the pulse of why I put them at 5 in my poll or my ranking. I think Brian Kelly, 2 10-win seasons, it just feels like it's going to be hard to keep him down and going into year 3. And I know he's lost a lot, but at the same time, he's a great coach. He really is a good coach.
Yeah, I think it's year 3 under Brian Kelly. That seems to be kind of the buzz or the narrative right now about why LSU is in for a breakout year. So I'll give it to you real quick because I just pulled it up. He was just around 500 his first 2 years at Grand Valley State. And then year 3, they go 13-1 and lost in the D2 national title game. Year 3 at Central Michigan, about 500 for the first couple of years. Then in his third year there in 06, they went 9-4 and 7-1, and he got the Cincinnati job. And then, you know, you're starting to detect the trend here. Year 3 in Cincinnati was a really good
11
year.
11 wins.
Yeah, and then you just keep going there.
Year 3 Notre Dame in the BCS championship, national championship game.
Yeah, so that's the idea. And when you see LSU ahead of Missouri, there's a very, very direct correlation between the fact that LSU now has the defensive coordinator, Blake Baker, who was Missouri's defensive coordinator for the last 2 seasons. And he was such a miracle worker at Mizzou. Now you flip that guy over to LSU, you know, I get it. I get why people put LSU ahead of Missouri.
Yeah, and then you also have to remind yourself how imperfect the voting is at SEC Media Days. South Carolina with 1 first-place vote, and then Vandy with 2 first-place votes. That probably carried them up. Even though they're dead last, that probably carried them a little bit to get the 293 votes they ultimately, or points that they ultimately had.
If the SEC league office needs somewhere to look for who to start revoking the credentials from for next year, go and find the 2 voters who put Vandy at first. And heck, let's go ahead and throw the South Carolina first place voter in there too. Because, I mean, come on. Like, are you kidding me? Like, there's no scenario. Obviously, this is just people trying to be funny, trying to be cute. And it's like, it's a waste of everybody's time to – unless you just did it by accident. I could see this happening, Gabe. You know, you go to these Media Days events, and there's a fair number of older folks there who really don't know how to work computers or technology, and so maybe there were 3 of them who just accidentally voted for South Carolina and Vanderbilt just because they didn't know how to work the software system. But
Are you being a little ageist there, David?
No, it's funny. Like, so when I was on the beat for the Times Free Press covering Tennessee, we had a columnist, Mark Wiedmer, who's just like, I mean, just a wealth of SEC knowledge. He retired recently, and he's working at Macaulay School in Chattanooga, but like an all-time SEC legend, like one of the best kind of old school sports writers you'll ever meet. And I promise you, every Saturday at Neyland Stadium or wherever Tennessee was playing, somewhere on the road, that was actually where it happened more often than not, was on the road where your computer doesn't remember the Wi-Fi password. And then you get in the press box and it's like a 45-minute ordeal to get this guy connected to the Wi-Fi. And yeah, there's a lot of that still in the SEC. There's some of that old guard. So maybe it was an accident that Vandy got a couple of first places.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I would imagine it is. I've seen the crowd there. It's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag. There's guys that have been around for a while. I'm not going to say any more than that. But talking with David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X. I want to move on to the NBA. We had the Grizzlies make a pretty substantial move today to move off of Zaire Williams. They've probably been trying to do it for a while, but they trade him to the Nets and they added a future second-round draft pick. I think 2030 is when that's going to come through for Mamadi Diakite. But really, it was for financial flexibility. This is really, you know, looking back at it, sure, David Roddy may have been a miss. Maybe people have chalked up Jake LaRavia as a miss. But this was one of those things, I think the one that you point to in the Zach Kleiman era from start to finish. There was doubt with it from the beginning, taking him at number 10 after his 1 year at Stanford, and it just never came to fruition. This is the one really bad miss that I think this front office has taken since they've taken over.
Probably the worst miss. Yeah, and it came after a long run of successes for them to begin their tenure. I mean, you think about Ja Morant and Brandon Clark and the slam dunk A-plus draft that year. And then, yeah, you get to 21. It's been the forever saga with the Grizzlies, trying to get that dynamic big wing, that player who would have rounded out the core four and made it the Invincible Five or what have you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that it goes all the way back to that era where the Grizzlies have been trying to find that player, and they've not been able to do that. And Zaire Williams was maybe going to be that. They saw something in him that I don't think a whole lot of other people saw. I mean, watching his 1 year of college basketball at Stanford, it was pretty underwhelming. And at the time, you kind of chalk that up to the fact that he was going through a lot in his personal life with some family stuff at the time. But it didn't pan out. So, you know, but hey, at least they're kind of conceding that they're throwing in the towel there. And now what? This opens up more minutes for some of these other guys who you kind of believe in. I mean, you know, you're seeing Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer do well in the summer league. And of course, you know, you got Vince Williams, who's, I think, in line for a potential starting role this year. I mean, am I
we'll
crazy?
See.
Is that? Yeah, I mean, I feel like that could be a real thing.
Yeah, no, I have been. I obviously, I want to see what Marcus Smart looks like with the starting lineup, and that's probably what it's going to look like as we start the season. But I do. I've always had this sneaking suspicion that Marcus Smart, as a secondary ball handler, secondary offensive initiator, still has the defense off the bench, and then throwing Vince Williams Jr., who's not going to want the ball that much and still will bring that defensive edge that Marcus Smart would bring, I feel like it would fit better. But obviously, yeah, that's something that's – it's all theoretical at this moment. We have to see how this all fits before we have a final judgment.
Right. You're a little small in the backcourt if you go with Ja, Bane, and Smart. I mean, of course, you got Jaren roaming around next to Zach Edey in theory. Then that sort of mitigates a little bit of that because you can protect the rim probably better than anybody in the league. But in terms of, like, on-ball perimeter defense, as great as Marcus Smart is in that regard, yeah, you would end up, I think, in some mismatches defensively if Ja, Bane, and Smart were your 1-2 and your 3. I mean, that's just probably one of the smallest 1-3 starting combinations you would see in the NBA.
Yeah, no, and this does free up, and this is really what it was for, freeing up some money to go pay Luke Kennard with. I think that's what everybody was paying attention to with the Zaire news, and likely Luke Kennard back on the roster. How do you feel about this roster, though, heading into next year? I'm not saying that there's some championship winner, championship caliber team, but I think this could be a team, you know, all said and done, if injury luck, which still continues to be bad with the Zach Edey stuff as of yesterday, if the injury luck, you know, it comes through to a certain extent, this is a team that could be in the top 6 seeds, probably 3-6.
Yeah, no doubt. It's just literally a matter of getting them on the court together. I mean, the talent is absolutely there. Now you need the chemistry piece to come together. A lot of that is just going to be picking up where they left off a couple of years back, but it's been a minute now. It has been a minute since Ja and Bane and Jaren have really played together, and now you throw in Marcus Smart and Zach Edey, and you know, it does look a little bit different, so you got to find that chemistry again. But the Luke Kennard thing, I think, is pretty important because you need that 3-point outside knockdown perimeter threat, because obviously you have that with Desmond Bane, but if Marcus Smart is a starter, Ja's not a great 3-point shooter. Marcus Smart is not a great 3-point shooter. Jaren is so hit or miss, and I am not convinced that Zach Edey is going to attempt a 3-pointer next season.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you got to have something in terms of bona fide 40-plus percent three-point shooting on that roster, and obviously that's what Luke Kennard can provide.
And it's the half-court offense thing, too. And I think there's a misnomer. Like, half-court offense is definitely helped by shot-making, and Luke Kennard helps there. But I think G.G. Jackson, a guy like that, shot creation is a thing that the Grizzlies have always had an issue with. I think they're actually better than they have been, even in those 2 years where they were at the top of the West, second with 50-plus wins. I think they're better taken care of in the shot creation department than they ever have been in this era.
Well, when you put John Morant on the floor, he can create a shot for himself, and he can create a shot for everybody else. I mean, he's the straw that stirs the drink. And so when you got a guy like Luke Kennard who can hang out in the corner, it keeps the defense from collapsing on Ja, obviously. And if the defense does collapse, then you pass it to Luke Kennard who hits a three. So the floor spacing element of it is going to be crucial when you think about especially the type of player that Zach Edey is. As we've mentioned, he's not a perimeter threat. You know, he's going to set those nice high ball screens for you, but he's not going to be a pop threat out of that pick and roll. He's right. Only a roll threat out of that pick and roll. And when you roll, you clog up the lane. And so, you know, having spacing is obviously going to be tremendously important. And, you know, for that matter, it's interesting to theorize what sort of three-point shooter G.G. Jackson could become. I mean, he certainly showed glimpses of it last year. I mean, so there's some promise in that sense.
And have you been watching him in the summer league?
Well, I haven't watched
not as much.
He's kind of been hurt. But,
I can say this: G.G. Jackson. Listen, he puts up a lot. We know that he's been shot chucking for the most part in summer league with the Grizzlies because he's the main source of offense outside of Scottie Pippen Jr., who's been great as well. But he has some range now. Like, it's something that we did not expect to see out of South Carolina, but he really can shoot a three ball. It has developed really well in a short time with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? We talk about Zaire Williams, we talk about G.G. Jackson, both these one-and-done former five-star guys who were just so highly touted coming out of high school. Both of them have underwhelming freshman seasons that limit the expectations of them entering the professional ranks. You take Zaire Williams with a lottery pick, he doesn't pan out. You take G.G. Jackson in the second round, he almost looks like an afterthought in that draft, and he's now emerged as a potential piece for your future. It's so difficult to know, like, what's the difference? What has worked with G.G. Jackson? What were the intangibles and the ingredients there that maybe Zaire didn't have? And so it's just fascinating.
You know what it is, in my opinion? Confidence. Like, yep. G.G. has never been short of confidence.
Right.
He will just put shot after shot after shot up. I mean, look at the first game in Salt Lake City Summer League. He went 0 for 10 from 3, never stopped shooting them. Whereas Zaire would just sort of crawl into a ball, he'd be a shell of himself if he missed a couple of shots or had a couple of bad plays.
Yeah. No, I think you're onto something there. G.G. has no shame. He has no filter. Like, you know, he's a big fan of the heat check shot, for sure. And, I mean, it's fun to watch him in summer league because he's clearly one of the most talented players out there. I mean, sometimes it's that no, yes, you know, type of stuff with him. Yep. But, hey, that's, you know, sometimes it's okay to have some of that offensive firepower coming off of the bench for you. And so, hey, if he can provide that, come in and be that offensive firepower or spark plug off the bench for the Grizzlies this next year, his second year in the league as a second round draft pick, you know, probably not even 21 years old yet, right? Like, that's really encouraging. I mean, the sky is kind of the limit for him because, yeah, he was a second round pick, but he was like one of the top prospects, and he reclassified too. So there's a world in which, you know, this is GG's rookie season because he was so young at South Carolina, and it's just it's incredible. Yeah, you know, obviously what he's evolving into so early in his career.
He is younger than most of the players that got drafted this year still. Like, he's still one of the most young players in the NBA. So I think there's a lot to be built upon. Now, I do want to bring this up real quick. Did you see Alexander Saar the other night? Did you see that?
0 for 15?
He's been really bad. Yeah. I know that it was always like, okay, defense, we feel like he's going to be good on that end. He's athletic. He can block shots. And offense was always going to be more of a developmental thing. But it feels like we're starting from the complete bottom with him. And I think the Wizards are stressing themselves. You ought to be a little bit stressed about what you've seen from him on the offensive end in summer league.
Without a doubt. I'm sure the person most grateful for Alex Saar's struggle is probably Bronny James.
Right.
Because
yeah.
Alex Saar, being so inept offensively, has taken some of that conversation away from Bronny, mercifully. Wow. What a perfect kind of example of what everybody said about this draft class,
yes.
Which is that it was weak at the top and that you were going to be taking a swing no matter who you picked. And then, you know, no surprise, man, that like Zach Edey has looked pretty good. He's a veteran college guy. Dalton Kinnick starting to round into his own and look like a pretty good player. But he's got that 5 years of college experience under his belt. And I guess that's where you got to kind of press pause for a second on somebody like Alex Saar and think about what the 5-year plan might look like. Because if you're looking for him to provide something meaningful to you in terms of winning as a rookie, it doesn't look like it's going to be that way. And so how can you sort of take him and mold him into something, you know, down the line? Because it's pretty obvious that is not going to be immediate and it's not going to be anytime soon.
Well, and the two players at the top from France, like even Rizochet, he's been okay, but he's still missing a lot of shots. I think a lot of the guys that did a lot of the bulk of their development in the United States, whether it was G League Ignite or what have you, or in college, like they're the ones who early in summer league are actually shining.
Yeah, that's a fascinating topic of debate right now, the developmental system in the United States versus the developmental system overseas. I don't think there's anything wrong, though, necessarily with the way players develop in the United States. Like, yeah, it's AAU, and AAU has its flaws, but at the same time, I think you got to credit the...
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Rise in international basketball products,
right,
just to the popularity of the game and the fact that there are, you know, heavily populated nations that are now into their second and third generation of really devoting resources and time and energy and fanfare to basketball in a way that we didn't see prior to the emergence of, let's say, Dirk Nowitzki. And now, I mean, you go anywhere in Europe and, you know, basketball is the number two right behind soccer, and it's pretty popular. And there's kids playing the game now. And, you know, it's the United States versus the world. I'm still probably going to take the U.S. in terms of producing more NBA talent, but I don't view it as an indictment on the U.S. developmental system that you know, there's more and more Europeans who are draftable prospects.
Well, I've always thought it's just been overplayed. Like, yes, I think that they, with AAU, there's definitely some drawbacks. Not a lot of defense being played. It's going to be up and down. It's not going to be the best style of ball you've ever seen. But it's not like people that play in AAU and develop that way, it's not like they're batting batting zeros across the board. There's still a lot of good talent that comes out of the AAU developmental system in the United States. I always think, you know, especially since the world has caught up, there's just been this massive, you know, revolt against that style of ball. I think it's always been way overplayed the past few years.
College basketball is still the best place to develop into an NBA player.
Agreed.
There's stylistic differences in the game. They're not exactly the same sport and what you need to construct a winning roster. But I mean, by and large, a player with a few years of college experience is going to be more ready for the league than all but the most exceptional talents who come through the European system. So yeah, I don't think that United States basketball is in any big trouble here. You know, it's going to be a big conversation though as we go into the Olympics. Kind of what this Olympic team does, for better or worse, is going to be used to judge one way or the other whether or not the U.S. has a basketball development problem. And you know, I think this squad is constructed in a way that's going to do pretty well.
But I think we'll alleviate some concerns with this Olympics run.
I would certainly think so, but it's going to be more competitive than it usually is, or than it was 20 years ago. I mean, for sure. It used to be in the 90s, you just trot out the NBA All-Star team and you win every game by 30. But now, of course, you do have more representation from around the world in terms of NBA talent that are going to be on these teams. So it's going to be a fun watch, but I kind of believe the U.S. is going to get it done.
Yeah, I fully expect that. And they're going to play South Sudan coming up tomorrow night? I don't expect that one to be very close. I think that'll be...
I'm trying off the top of my head to think of the South Sudanese players that are in the
Wynn
NBA.
Wynn Gabriel. Really... There you go. I helped you. Wynn Gabriel. Basically, yes. I didn't really recognize any of the other names. Wynn Gabriel's the only one I recognize. I see. I did some research today. I do research before my show.
Well, no, you're very well prepared, Gabe. You crush it. I'm always impressed with you.
Yeah, well, I am impressed with you as always, David. You have a good weekend, and we'll catch up on Monday.
All right, brother. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. That is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X from CBS Sports, covering college football and college basketball. And he is brought to you every day by Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Get over there, 964 June Road. Off Poplar, on June Road, behind the Amoco Station. You drive Poplar every day. You pass it every day. Why not go in and take advantage of what they have to offer? Two-story storefront with the best clothing and the best brands, Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen and Maine. They have the best teams, your favorite teams, Grizzlies, Tigers, Alabama, Tennessee. All your SEC favorites are in there as well. They have sports memorabilia, great autographs, a great card selection if you like to get into the trading cards. They also have the vintage vinyl for you music lovers, hunting and outdoor essentials on the top floor. So if you're going to look for the hunter in your life, or you're just trying to shop for yourself, go to that top floor if you are an adventurous soul. And you can bring all this. You don't have to go to 964 June Road, although I will suggest it because they have an unbelievable selection of just everything. But you can get all that selection online as well. ShopOxbow.com is where you can find them. Again, that's ShopOxbow.com. And when you go to checkout, fill up that shopping cart with whatever you want. When you go to checkout, use my promo code, TheGabeShow. All caps, no spaces, TheGabeShow at ShopOxbow.com. And you will get 20% off your online order. But whether you're going online or in-store to 964 June Road, remember to shop local. Shop Oxbow. We need to go ahead and grab a break. There'll be more of the Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next. Stick around. Ball before we know it. And with that, there is at least one team in the country that's going to be without their head coach. And we've been knowing this for about 2 weeks, but looks like Utah State has fired Blake Anderson. Now, we know Blake Anderson from his time at Arkansas State. Did a really good job here. And he's been through a lot. You know, he lost his wife to breast cancer not too long ago when he was at Arkansas State. He lost Wendy when she was 49 years of age. But this is just an interesting thing that happened over this offseason, just 2 weeks after Utah State informed him of its intent to terminate because of alleged actions in 2023 that the school said violated his contract and university policy. They have let him walk. They have let him go. And I think he will not be paid any type of buyout because it was with cause. Here's the quote from them, or at least the you know statement they put out at Utah State. These reporting requirements include a prohibition on employees outside the USU Office of Equity from investigating issues of sexual misconduct, including domestic violence. Additionally, Anderson failed to manage the team in a manner that reflects USU's academic values. So apparently in the fact-finding process that was supposed to, you know, keep him employed at Utah State, he made some missteps, and they did not like that. I don't know exactly what happened, though. It's still kind of confusing as to what actually transpired this offseason that led to this firing. You hear sexual misconduct, domestic violence. I don't know. I think it has to do with reporting guys on the team for certain things like this happening. We've seen this in the past at LSU, most notably. But you have to report those things when they are brought to your front door. And maybe that is ultimately what led Blake Anderson being out of college football this year.
If he was not reporting those things, he shouldn't be a college head coach.
Simple, yeah.
It's that simple. If that's the case.
Far and away past trying to cover these things up.
Right.
Stop it.
We've had a lot of conversations the last 2 weeks about cultures within a college football program and how much players get away with things, and that's just got to end. We are in the year of 2024. That cannot happen anymore. So it sounds like it was a messy situation.
I do want additional details, though, because the wording in everything that has been put out report-wise or statements from Utah State or statements from Tom Mars, who is the you know longtime college football coach, lawyer, who is representing Blake Anderson in this situation, all of these statements that have been put out are so vague in nature.
Well, with this specifically, we do need more specific statements because it is such a big deal.
You're firing a guy with cause. What was that cause exactly?
Right. Especially when it's this type of subject matter.
I can sit here and speculate, and I think I have an idea.
Right.
But an idea is not actually knowing what transpired behind the scenes. And I would imagine Tom Mars, again, who is representing Blake Anderson, is probably trying to keep those from coming out. But we'll see if we get additional details. Of course, we'll bring those to you. Now, ESPN did their top 25 college football stadiums in America for the lead up to college football. And number one, no surprise here, this should have been the number one and toughest places to play in EA Sports College Football 25. But Tiger Stadium, LSU, established in 1924, that should be number one. It's the hardest place to play. They have done a lot of renovations on that to make it a nice stadium. They're number one. Now let's round out the top 10, and then I'll give you my opinions. Number two is the Rose Bowl, where UCLA plays. I've played there on multiple occasions. Three, Michigan Stadium. Four, Notre Dame Stadium. Five, Beaver Stadium, which honestly is one of the more underrated, toughest places to play in college football, where Penn State plays. Number six, Husky Stadium. I think that really got in there because of the sound and the ambiance around that entire stadium. I've always wanted to go to a game there. It looks beautiful. It looks beautiful. You see Seattle from the stadium right over the sound. It's very nice. Number seven, Ohio Stadium. Number eight, Camp Randall, where Wisconsin plays. Number nine, Bryant-Denny, which I think is a little bit overrated in this conversation. Just because Alabama's good does not mean it's the best stadium in America or a top 10 stadium. And then Neyland at number 10. I think you could put Neyland probably ahead of Bryant-Denny in some of these conversations. Now, I want to go back to number two, Rose Bowl. Now, it's not like the situation for UCLA for every home game. It's not like they're filling it up and making it, you know, full and loud every game. It's really hard to be loud with the way it is built. It is a bowl. It's flat. It moves out. But I can tell you just from the experience, I've played there twice. Locker rooms are beautiful. Most of the facilities are pristine. And that grass. Oh, my gosh, Connor, that grass. I can take a nap in that freaking grass. It is so beautiful year-round, and they go out of their way. Perfect length, soft. It is always pristine conditions at the Rose Bowl.
You know how some people say you can feel the energy or the history of a place when you walk in there? Like you can feel it? Could you feel it when you were playing in the Rose Bowl?
Pulling up and seeing the dang, honestly, not even being in the stadium, pulling up to the front of the Rose Bowl in Pasadena and seeing the Rose Bowl sign gives you like chills down your spine.
Goosebump City.
It's insane. And then, you know, going into the stadium, feeling the grass, all that stuff. You know how much history has been made there. You know how many good games have been played there. You really can feel the history when you walk
in. Because you're part of a fraternity that not many are part
right.
of. That I have played at the Rose Bowl. I have been on the field. I have touched that soft grass. That's really cool. Very cool.
It almost feels like the somewhat, because it's not like the, they keep it up nice, they keep it clean, but they don't do like these crazy, you know, like the concessions aren't the greatest, the bathrooms aren't the, it's kind of the Wrigley Field, I guess, of college football.
It's historic.
It's historic, and you have to put it in these conversations or you're doing it a disservice. Notre Dame, I think you could put up there as well. One that I found to be very interesting, and I mentioned it was a top 25. They had Ben Hill Griffin. They had the Swamp at 20.
Way too low.
That's a lot of history in that place as well, and it's just iconic too, seeing you are now visiting the Swamp.
It's
You're
so hard
Gator
to play
country.
There too. It's so hard to play there.
Yes.
Shut up.
Ask who? Who
shut
should
up.
You ask? Tennessee. Ask Tennessee.
Exactly.
That.
I would know. I'm the expert. It's underrated.
What I did like about ESPN's list is they did give a nod to some non-Power 5, Power 4 schools. They ended up putting Kid Brewer Stadium, Appalachian State Stadium, at 23. I've always wanted to check out sort of the game day atmosphere there. They had College Game Day last year, and they had a crazy game that ended, you know, at the buzzer. And then number 12, they put in Mitchie Stadium, where Army plays, which was established in 1924 as well, alongside Tiger Stadium. But that it's interesting because in the fall it is beautiful around there. If you've ever been to sort of upstate New York to see some of the fall and the trees and all the different colors, it is nice there. It's right on, I believe, the river. So it is nice. But it's always gray and nasty there. So I don't know. It's not hard to play there, but when we're talking about nice stadiums, I guess you could throw it in there.
Do you think this list is better than the College Football 25 one?
I think it's a different list. Right? It's a completely different list. Because that's toughest
that's
places
true.
To
that's
play.
True.
This is nicest stadiums.
That's true.
And I think I can throw there. Vaught-Hemingway, sorry to my Ole Miss people. I've played in there twice. Not 21. Sorry. Should not be in the top 25. I respectfully will disagree with you if you think they should be in the top 25. Maybe in top 25 toughest places to play, but nicest stadiums? Have you ever seen the away locker room there? Oh, my God. It was one of the worst I ever played in. It rivaled, and I'm not kidding you, their away locker room rivaled what Bowling Green State had. It was that bad.
Wow.
I don't know if they've made any improvements Ole Miss, but it really is bad.
Could that be purposeful, though?
Usually it is.
Okay.
But they have the money. You should have. You're in the SEC. You've made some money over the years. You should be able to at least help out a little bit.
The tailgating is truly unbelievable, though, in the Grove.
Oh, 100%.
I went down for those Memphis games and just a completely different experience.
But my problem is if we're talking about nicest stadiums,
right.
I'm not
we're
putting
talking
tailgating
about stadium.
There.
Right.
I'm not talking about game day atmosphere or game day shenanigans. I'm talking about stadiums strictly. I don't think Vaught-Hemingway should be in there.
Any snubs that you can think of from this list?
That's a tough one. Not in particular. I just think that there were some underrated ones.
Boise State got some votes. They
the
were
Swamp
left
should be the Swamp should be up top a little more. Let's see. So people put the Kibbe Dome in there. That is strictly NCAA 14. That's the old EA Sports game that got them there. Kinnick Stadium's pretty nice for a game day. I've been there several times. My brother went there for college.
It's boring as hell football games.
Where else?
Colorado?
Folsom Field is beautiful.
Right.
Absolutely beautiful. It's not like the nicest in the world, though, as far as concessions and bathrooms. It's still old school.
Can see, though, a lot of this has to do with the views for the game. Like, BYU got votes.
Yes.
Utah got votes.
West Virginia
got votes. Yeah, it's like Wyoming got votes.
I think for a game day experience, though, Oklahoma State's very nice. That is a beautiful stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. Now, game day atmosphere, probably not the same as some of the stadiums, you know, ranked ahead of them, but that is a nice place.
What was
play
the hardest
taking a game?
What was the hardest place you ever played?
I mean, just by default, I'd have to throw in Ole Miss. I think, you know, when we start to get down the list, TDECU Stadium for Houston, because it's a new one. When we played them, I think we were ranked 21st. They were ranked 24th. That was a really hard place to play at that moment because they filled it out because we were both top 25 teams at that moment. We ended up losing that game, which sucked. But that was a
tough
place
to play. Was that the Ed Oliver experience for you?
I think it was a year before Ed Oliver.
Year before.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when you told me that you were like, he moved, and I was just like, what the hell?
My worst experience as a collegiate football player, it was 4th and 1. It would have been my senior year. 4th and 1. Ed Oliver is playing a head-up two technique directly on the right guard on me, and they have their, like, goal line package in there, and we're running inside zone, just a basically a halfback dive under center behind me, and he's across from me. And I, again, put on a brave face. You put on that brave face as best you can, but you know he is about 5'10", 300 pounds. He is getting up under your chest, and you are going 3 yards into the backfield in that situation. That was the tough. That was the worst play, worst situation I've ever had as a collegiate.
So y'all didn't convert?
I don't believe we did. Yeah, we didn't. We didn't. And then they got a short field, and I think they went and scored. So not a good situation. But I also want to say, I know that I was the senior leader on that offensive line at that time. Kind of set me up for failure to a certain extent. Can we be honest? Can we be completely honest?
I think it's fair to say it probably would have happened to everybody on that roster.
Yes. Yes. It was not
fair. It was Ed Oliver. Come on.
Yes. It was not fair. It was not fair. Now, what is fair is this weekend, you're probably going to be free, and you may be sitting in front of your TV playing some college football 25. You may be doing that. And I know what you're going to want to have with you. You may want some libations. You may want a drink. And I know how tempting it is to buy that national brand of liquor you always buy. But whatever that bottle contains, we have a local distillery that does it better. That's Old Dominic. They have gin, vodka, toddy, whiskey, bourbon. They have new bourbon as well. Go check it out at your local liquor store. 90.1 proof for the 901. 90.1 proof goes down smooth. And it's also relatively cheap. It goes down smooth on your wallet as well. But a spirit from Old Dominic is the most fresh, most full that you can buy in this city. And there should be no surprise, the distillery is right here on the riverfront. 305 South Front Street is where you can find them. They have events all the time. You can book a tour and tasting. You can do that at olddominic.com. But Old Dominic Distillery wants me to tell you to come by and make sure to say hi. Now we need to go ahead and wrap up hour number two. When we come back, we will get to small talk right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, since SEC Media Day started, we've learned about horns down. That's going to be ready to go. All the players can throw it. All the fans can throw it. No 15-yard penalties. So Texas is getting some more disrespect than they've ever gotten in the Big 12. We have more of it, though. Connor, you told me here at the break, give me the news. Give me the drop here of the Texas disrespect.
Disrespect? Or how about some Tennessee respect?
Yeah, that's maybe.
The biggest story of the college football season has dropped today when the SEC has officially ended the debate as to who the real UT is.
They have?
Because on their preseason first, second team that they released, Texas players are designated TEX.
Yes!
And Tennessee players are designated UT.
The real UT, stand up! How about it? Not super happy for you. You know I'm not a big Tennessee fan.
Horns down.
For obvious reasons.
Horns
but,
down.
But throw the horns down and just understand you're the real UT now. Texas can't get on your level.
The first time they play will be electric, though, because part of it will be who can claim UT. The real UT will be the winner from that game.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I still think the Texas orange is just a little bit better. It just is. Sorry. UT orange is gnarly. It's a nasty
color. Very in your face.
It's a nasty color. Nasty color. But hey, if it floats your boat, it floats your boat. Also, last night, did you see the Microsoft?
We had
an internet outage.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was all over. I woke up.
So airlines, banks, media offices from U.S. to Australia all shut down. I saw a bunch of flights that had to get grounded.
All of them did.
All of them,
except for like Southwest. I think was the airline that didn't have to.
Yeah. Did you know? You noticed it though last night playing? I didn't notice until
I woke up.
Oh, okay.
No, I had like a ton of notifications, and I was like, "Is the world ending right now? Is there a cyber attack? What's happening?"
Did they ever figure it out? It was just an outage. Right?
Something, yeah, just
wasn't
an outage.
A cyber attack, which is
I don't think
scariest
so. Well, that's what they're saying.
They
so.
Said it was a cyber attack.
They did. They said it was not one.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just outage, from what I understand. And I saw a lot of people trying to get back from SEC Media Days yesterday. A lot of media members angry with their flights. Brett McMurphy at the top. He went after Delta. I'm like, just relax. Delta, they don't have much control.
I'm not sure it's their fault.
It was. I am sure.
The one time.
I'm very sure it wasn't their fault.
The one time we probably can't get mad at the airlines is when the global security systems go down.
Yes, I think that's pretty fair. That's a fair assumption. Now, we need to get to hour number three, and we're going to start talking some NFL. We are less than 2 weeks away from the Hall of Fame game between the Texans and the Bears, so let's bring on a guy who knows about the Texans, the AFC South, and the NFL as a whole. That's DJ Bien-Aimé from ESPN. He's next.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Mom, it's school shopping time.
On it. Ooh, Target has select supplies like crayons and glue sticks for 25 cents, plus markers for 50 cents.
Next, my new Rockstar vibe means new clothes.
Ooh, totally. These graphic tees are $6 and made to last.
And a strawberry lunch bag to match my sweet personality.
Got it. And it's only $5. Let's get your favorite Good & Gather snacks. They're now at a new lower price.
Best team ever.
When it comes to low prices, Target has your back to school.
At Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, it's time to define luxury in a new way. At every turn, you'll find audacious design, state-of-the-art technology, and exceptional hospitality. We are dedicated to crafting the world's best vehicles, matched by an extraordinary sales-to-service experience for our owners. Prepare to be noticed in the 2023 Genesis G70. This sporty sedan is a force to be seen. We'd love you to explore the 2023 Genesis GV70 with a class-leading 300-horsepower engine or the available 375-horsepower twin-turbo V6 for terrains from concrete jungles to mountain roads. It's a new beginning for a new generation. Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, 1870 Covington Pike, or visit us online at memphisgenesis.com. Estimated horsepower based on premium fuel ratings. Use of regular fuel will result in reduced horsepower. See dealer for complete details. Dealer stock only.
Hey everyone, Gabe Kuhn here. I think there's three checklist items when looking for a good dentist practice. One, are they good at their job? That's one thing you absolutely don't have to worry about when you go to Dr. Mady Sadeghi at the Smile Center. Two, is it convenient? I would say the Smile Center is about as convenient as it gets. Perfect location in Germantown. And three, are they personable? You may catch Dr. Mady trying to talk Grizzlies with you upon your visit. But regardless, Smile Center checks all the boxes for a phenomenal dentist practice. Get to their location in Germantown or go to SmileCenterMemphis.com.
Introducing Lumi for Men, and we named him Mando. I'm Dr. Shannon Klingman's brother, the inventor of Mando Whole Body Deodorant for pits, packages, and feet. Because we all know our pits aren't the only places we get odor. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is different from anything you've tried before. It stops odor before it starts, powered by our acidified technology. Mando controls odor anywhere you have it. Her patented whole body deodorant formula has over 200,000 five-star reviews. And because Mando has a 60-day stink-free guarantee, you can try Mando risk-free. Give Mando whole body deodorant.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.